Okay, there.
There you go.
Right?
Mine leaves something up while it's recording. Do you use the voice memos that's built in on it?
That is.
Okay. Will you do yours? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, look, it says it's recording.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a really funny recording to listen back to.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Now we'll start. Development Administration Board, it is 2:05 on April 11th, 2024. In attendance, we have Jay Baughman, Community Development Director, Andy Spencer, Public Works Director, City Engineer Rob Patterson, City Attorney, Planning and Zoning Administrator. We have Jerry Abbott and Chris Howden, our Planning Commission representatives. And then we have Gretchen, who is recording for us. We also have our applicant here today, Todd Train, on behalf of Millhaven Homes. We have two items on the agenda. The first is just approval of meeting minutes from our last DAB meeting, March 14th, 2024. Any questions or changes or comments on those?
No, I read the minutes and I move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay.
We have a motion by Andy to approve, second by Rob. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 5-0. Second action item is the final plat approval for Foxwood Estates subdivision. This is a request from Millhaven Homes. This is the Workman Farms property. The Planning Commission considered the preliminary plat back in January, approved it with along with the stipulations from staff. We are moving ahead on this. They're anxious to get started on development. It is a R140 subdivision. They have 21 plus acres entitled to 23 odd lots. They're doing only 20 lots. And actually, if you look at the council agenda next week, it'll be going down to 19. They're combining three lots into two. But for our purposes, we're approving a 20 lot subdivision. They meet all the zoning requirements for number of smaller lots. They only have 25%. We've gone through and reviewed all the sensitive land comments. All of the utilities, everything has been reviewed. I wrote that through the staff report. There's a few stipulations we recommended, and it's more in the line of we didn't do a final, we're trying to get this approved and get it moving, so we didn't do one last clean set to get every change recorded into the plans. So the staff is recommending that there be an approval of this with five stipulations. The first is that the city engineer and city attorney review the plat and plans to conform with these stipulations prior to recording and construction, that the plat be in substantial conformance with the plat set that was contained in the staff report from April 2nd, except as we modify it with these stipulations. Same with the improvement plans. The improvement plans be in substantial conformance with the plans from April 2nd, except as we modify it. And then the larger stipulation is that both the plat and the plans be revised and updated per the city review comments that we issued on April 9th. Those were attached. There was a long list of them. Most of them were closed comments from the first one. There was a few minor tweaks back and forth, but I don't know if anyone had any questions about those, or Andy, if anything you wanted to speak to on the utility side of things.
I think for the city staff side, we're contented that we can get there with the developer. We're just a few comments away, but nothing that's a game changer. And so I don't have any hesitation to move forward with that. It looks intimidating, but it's mostly because it's a just the little different format with the state law changes. And so these days we're doing kind of more, if you will, a trail of the conversation, meaning so you see submittal response. And so even though there's a lot of pages there, it's not as, it looks like more than it really is. We'll say it that way. So I'm content that, one more cleanup and we're there. So I don't know if anybody else has anything to weigh in on that.
No, same. My comments when I reviewed last time were mostly just minor clarifications on the plat, make sure I had the right notes, but nothing that was going to hold up the plat. One thing I do want to just note, kind of exciting news for the city, but we talked about this in the preliminary plat, but there is a trail connection from the city center trail connecting down to Murdoch Canal. The developer has agreed to not only put the trail in through their property, on the city's property in Canterbury that has been preserved as a trail corridor, the developers agreed to put in the trail system there and extend it. So we have the full connection from city center down to Murdoch Canal, subject to reimbursement agreement for the city side, of course. Yes, the developer is managing that trail construction on our behalf.
We're not paying for it, but we are designing it and managing it. And helping the city get it connected now, because it really is, I think that if you don't connect it now, it's going to be harder in the future.
And that's staff's view as well. So,
so there are two reimbursement items the developer would be due. They have put in, right now the plan showing them putting in a pressure reducing station for the culinary water, which was above and beyond what they should have to do as the baseline development requirements. And then it's this trail extension on the offsite property. And so both of those are reimbursements. And if for whatever reason the city decided not to reimburse them, then they just wouldn't put them in. The development would still go forward. It wouldn't impact their ability to develop. It's just, okay, we just won't do that element.
We've also agreed to dedicate that back portion to the city with utilities. And
I was going to bring that up as well.
Which portion?
So back here on the kind of northwest corner of the property, that's parcel A on the plat. That is being dedicated to the city. We have a drainage that kind of runs into there. It's just being kept as a city for any kind of municipal drainage preservation purposes.
We also have a sewer line that spans it now.
And Lehigh City.
And there's a Lehigh City, so
and
it's...
And Lehigh City has a water line that crosses it. There's a lot of municipal purposes associated with that portion of the property.
So the developer is deeding that property over to the city through this development. I also noted this in the staff report. They've already collected their water. We've reviewed it. The city is allocating water for that portion as that's coming to us. Yeah. So we've already agreed on us.
The city is going to provide the water rights associated with that element, to kind of balance things out, if you will.
There's also a few other dedications, mostly in the lines of the trail dedications between the lots there. And then on the south side for trail and irrigation, they've also, I think, already piped the Lehigh irrigation ditch in order to get it done before water was coming in. But there's also notes on there for dedications to Lehigh irrigation to preserve their ditch there.
We've also widened the cul-de-sac on the south side to accommodate the trail. So the city will have much more dedication on that.
Yeah.
It's wider.
On that street, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's... It's a 60-foot road where we're only have to get 56. So, developers have been actually great with the city with the trail accommodations through the property. So very appreciative of that accommodating the trail.
So why did you go from 20 to 19 months?
Because we...
Was
so,
that your choice? Or?
Well, and this one shows the actual... We had four lots here.
We had... Turn the page and...
Well, this is my set, but in your
in the packet, it shows the 20 lot.
17, 18, and 19.
Well,
yes.
and what you're approving today, is it in the packet?
It's in the packet, the 20 lot version.
Go to the 20 lot version.
I'll bring it up here as well.
So you're getting rid of one of the lots?
Yes. Okay. So we had two owners come in and purchase three lots, okay. And so we're just combining three lots into two.
Yeah.
So less density.
But your choice.
Yes.
Okay. And we couldn't approve it as a 19 lot because they have five lots that are under 30,000, and to meet the 25% rule, they have to have 20 lots overall. So this board is approving it as a 20 lot subdivision, and they're immediately doing a plat amendment to be heard next week for the council to approve readjusting those lots.
We don't have to go through the recording of a 20 lot and then come back in and do a plat amendment and actually move laterals.
A combination lot splits here where you just, it's over the counter. Guy buys two lots.
No, we don't do them over the counter. We prefer to amend the plats, but in this case, that's kind of to meet the technical requirements for what we can act on as the DAB. And technically, we could only act on a 20 lot subdivision, and so, but we have to be. Under the new state code and the new city code, we are the approving body. And so if we'll approve the 28 lot, then the council can approve the amended plat next Tuesday to take it to 19. Kind of a,
so this is, a stranger. That's what you're approving today. And then this is what's going to city council on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
That's really what it is.
And so this is what we'll actually record, but we did this so you as a board are protected. You approve something that is per code. So
it's a weird step, but it's kind of the way it had to work out in the new.
I also thought somewhere in one of our meetings we decided we were going to do easements instead of taking ownership because we have to maintain and weed and.
In the past, the city did that in some of the developments. This is one where I think that the city ought to own that piece. And it's been probably me as public works engineer that's been most vocal saying, no, we need to own that piece.
So we got to maintain it.
Yeah, we are going to be stuck with maintaining
it. These guys are all going to bitch and moan about it, and we're not going to have the funds to go out and do it.
I don't think they will.
I mean, it's not going to be much different from what it is now.
Yeah. Is it slowed down?
Yeah.
It's, oh, yeah.
It's like to the top to the bottom, it's 40 feet or something down there.
It was the lift station in Victorview that kept having problems, so we managed to avoid it, but we had to pipe a sewer line across.
It's elevated. It's exposed sewer line. It's hanging suspended. Like a bridge. Yeah.
It's we hired some remnants.
Just don't drink out of it.
I agree with Andy. This is probably because I know the whole history of Highland City and open space, and this is one piece that will remain we're keeping the entire thing natural, and this piece will remain natural. I don't see any neighbor complaining because it's
I'm not losing my mind, right? We talked about taking ownership.
The city made a shift while Todd was still here, to look at taking a number of these corridors as easements, which has had its goods and bads, right? The goods was people couldn't complain as the bad is, we had somebody more or less build their back door right at one of these little channels because it was their land, and there was an easement for the channel, and they built their back door right for that.
They're
easement
doing that on our property
because it probably would have. But had we taken the channel, they would have had to be a setback, right? And so they sort of those in the setback, they built it right to the channel. And then last spring, they said, "Hey, the lady up there."
Which one?
Oh,
Tanya Collins.
No, it's up just north of Tanya Collins, the lady who kind of redirected that natural swell, and built their back door there. And last spring, they came to us and said, "Hey, how are we going to stop from flooding?" We're like, you need to protect yourself, but this is kind of self-inflicted, right? Because they built right to that channel coming down there.
Yeah, building on an easement or your own property, same thing.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a piece that we've felt like there's enough going on between Lehigh and us and the drainage off Caitlin, and this all connects right to the Dry Creek Lake parcel. So it's a little different than maybe some of the others.
The other thing I do want to highlight on the plat, you'll see the kind of black line that runs through all of those lots. That's the top of slope, and then you'll see inside of it is the buildable area. Well, so that's part of this whole sensitive land. And on the second page.
So we have actually told people where they can actually build.
So that's preserving that slope per the sensitive lands ordinance. So we have that's all been cross-sectioned and designated. The plat's going to be recorded. The geotech report's going to be recorded. They'll have to do additional work when they go to build. So that's all on there. And also, remember we talked about that cul-de-sac drainage?
Yes.
You can see that's exactly what's happened here and here. They have one cul-de-sac and a little bulb, and they have drainage corridors just to make sure it doesn't flood the cul-de-sac draining into the column.
So those two areas aren't being lifted above natural. They're just got the corridors going to the wash. So in this case, it's not a public road, but that wash is so deep that no private owner could ever. I guess you could think of some kind of natural scenario that could, but there's no way anybody could ever get flooded by that wash.
Even if Tibble Fort failed, the water would never make it to here. So
that wash is so deep.
Yep.
So we felt good about that.
Or something else I was going to say. Well, we're going to build on all of those lots. We're not selling to anyone else, so we'll, and everything will be recorded at the county. So
if you guys don't have any other questions,
anything else from the applicant?
No, I appreciate you working with us and trying to get the 19 lots done. I mean, I've never had a city push back and say, whoa, 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 you can't go lower density. Right. So,
yeah.
But,
go to Flagstaff.
But, and we weren't pushing back. It was, how do we make it work with our process, right? It's like, okay, well, this can work with our process.
I get it, so.
So yeah, if nobody else has any other questions, and you two don't have any questions, I'm prepared to make a motion, and the only reason I'm making it is because I saw you close your computer, so it's in front of me. But I'm happy to read it. So I move that the Development Administration Board accept the findings and approve the final plat and subdivision improvement plans for the Foxwood Estate subdivision, subject to the 5 stipulations recommended by staff.
I don't want to cut anyone off this time.
I need a
second.
Okay. Motion by Andy, second by Jerry. Let's do a roll call vote. Andy?
Aye.
Jerry?
Yes.
Chris? Jay?
Yes.
Rob is a yes. That passes unanimously, 5-0. Your final plat is approved.
Okay. So timing and steps forward. Can I'm going to get, is Jay the one that helps me with the bond?
No.
Or no. Gretchen, and then do you give it to Nate, or who reviews it?
I give. Send it straight to Nate.
Yeah.
Okay. Just send. So I will send our bid straight to Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me.
And
to
both. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, as soon as we get the 19 lots approved on Tuesday, and I post the bond, we record that quick?
Yeah, as long as you get the comments tweaked to the plat.
The
plat was just a few things. Yeah, the plans are a little bit.
Well, the plans I have pretty much done. There are a couple comments that I would like to talk about. I mean, and this is the plat, so I didn't want to bring that up.
Plat's easy enough to do. So, bring that in and we'll
get it. Well, and one of the questions, and maybe this is a good conversation for everyone. One of the most recent comments. So Nate added a few comments, and let me just give a word of warning, because this is happening in Heber right now. Does anyone do work in Heber? They hire a consultant that does all of their reviews, all of their inspections, everything. It's Horrox Engineers, and there are a whole bunch of developers up there putting together a lawsuit against Heber City, and here's why. Is because they have a client, a consultant that is incentivized by not doing a full review or doing multiple reviews, because it's more money in their pocket and more time. And they make the inspections very difficult. And so my worry about having a consultant doing the reviews, and it brings me to this point, I told Nate, I said, look, you've got to have a good single review. And if I make changes and created their comments, that's fine. But you can't 2-3 reviews in come up with new comments. And if you look at his comment sheet, he has scattered through there new comment, new comment, new comment. And then right at the top, he puts a stipulation. We're now at 3. There's additional funds that need to be paid.
Which we're not asking you to pay.
Well, I get it, Andy, and I appreciate that. And I feel like we've been helping each other through this. And so I appreciate that. I'm just warning you guys moving forward, you may run into developers that say, time out, there is a conflict here, because you have a consultant that is incentivized by making developers' lives difficult. And I don't think Nate's doing that. Yeah. I don't. But it could be perceived that way. And so my only worry is that when you get to a second and third and fourth review and Nate is putting new comment, new comment, new comment, it's what's happening to Heber. They're getting sued for that.
And what we hope, and we're trying to conform in this, you know, you're the first one.
I'm the guinea pig once again.
You're the first one on the new rules, but we had a conversation with Nate, and we said, okay, we did have that extra conversation. Look, you can't create new comments, but if the response to your original comments leads to a new comment, then that's fair game, right?
Agreed.
And so our hope was and understanding was that those were going to be the new comments were what came from that. But you know, we've been working well together, and we'll get you started next week.
Okay.
Just get
well,
those
there were two that kind of worried me on there, because he wants me to do grading on the trails, like a grading plan. And the trails all have contours saying that they're sloping to the road. And then the trails in the corridor have riprap on both sides, rock mulch, that it's going above and beyond. I feel like it's getting ticky-tacky, and it specifically says new comment. If he wanted us to do that, he should have given me that the first review.
First round, okay.
And then the other issue that I want to bring up, and this is a good conversation for everyone in this room, mm-hmm. is that one of the comments said that we need to put on the plat that these homeowners are to maintain the property behind the fence. This is a difficult situation, because put yourself in owning lot 8, 7, 4, and 3. We, as the developer, are going to put weed fabric in there and rock mulch and make it look nice, but they own property on the other side of the fence because Highland City's code is that way. And now you're telling them, not only can't you use your property, but you got to walk around there and you've got to maintain it. That is a hard pill to swallow.
I understand the hard pill to swallow, but that's already what the city code says.
I agree.
Today. So hard pill to swallow, a whole different conversation than that doesn't comply with current code.
Actually,
on Chris's subdivision, his folks have the same thing. They get to maintain the landscape on 6,000, in front of the wall.
And I was totally happy with it, but one of the thoughts I had when I was reviewing it is we're repeating city code in the stipulations, and so I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. But one of the questions I had was, why don't we just refer to, truncate that sentence that says you must do, and then we actually specify. I think it would be wiser as a city if we just described, and I should probably quote that sentence, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, and I've had the same thought. Like, the city's standard plat notes that even on every plat, not even just this, but it always has, front yard landscaping must be 70% done, and fences have, and it's like, those are all just code requirements, but the city, it's one of the things, I want to look at our standard plat template and see what comments we actually need to have on there versus not.
Because it just gives us as a city a little more flexibility that if we do want to tweak the code, that we can, and then we're not sitting there with some weird grandfathered thing.
But also,
last week, 2 months, 5 years from now, as it moves.
But I'm not bringing that up because I'm upset about it. I'm just saying that to put right on the plat, you must. It's hard. It's hard to say the city required me to give up that property that I own and pay taxes on. Now you're telling me to walk around the fence and maintain it. It's just hard. I get it that every property owner should maintain their frontage,
And all I was saying, Todd, is the reason why we discussed putting that on plat is more just so that they know going in, that they know, hey, that's my responsibility. At least that was the thought process behind it, is, okay, those people buy it knowing. The greater element that you're getting at is a more of a global Highland City discussion point, if you will, in that the only park strips that the city actually maintains are those that are associated with parkway details, where the wavy, the sidewalk's doing this, or in front of city properties. But all these ones that, the one that comes to mind to me is over on 4800 West, north of 11200 North, you've got all those homes on the west that have this very condition where there's the fence, then there's 5 foot, then there's sidewalk, and there's park strip. All those homeowners maintain those different plantings, and in that case, they're not uniform or anything, and it doesn't matter if they're uniform. I'm just saying some of them are weeds, some of them are maintained, it's kind of a hit and miss. But I know that the condition exists around the city, but it's kind of a, it's probably, to address your point, is a bigger issue.
Wasn't this done to avoid HOAs?
Because
typically those are done as parcels.
Yep.
Common area.
So then the HOA goes through and maintains it all.
You make those parcels, and the HOA goes and maintains those. Right. And it's uniform, the fences stay the same. But I think somewhere here, they think HOAs are evil.
And so to avoid that, they said, you got to maintain that. So the alternative is they could create their own HOA and have somebody pay somebody to go maintain all those areas.
And I was thinking to that, it's a point I want to make. The plat notes, sometimes we ask for them, not because it has anything to do with the developer, but because in 10 years, and we have this issue with someone who, they built a fence, like basically on a trail, and they didn't do it to the city's code, and it was helpful for us at that point to have our standard little note that says, fences next to trails have to be this.
It's right.
You should have known it when you bought it.
Yeah.
You know, it's always the balance, though, because we had so many plat notes that no one bothers to read them. But at least as the city could say, well, we tried to inform you because we're never involved in your property transaction when you buy the lot. We don't know what the seller is telling you or,
For sure
3 years down the road. Yeah. The only thing we know that you will potentially see is the title report will pull up the plat and say there are notes on it.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing we can do.
Well,
but it's
a good discussion to bring up.
Exactly right, Jerry. I think
how many notes do we need?
And the genesis of this was is we don't.
Well,
want
once you get so many notes, they won't read them anyway.
We're
at nine, so I'll throw another one on there. Ten's the good number. It's a good number.
Nice round number.
Yeah, divisible by five.
Well, let's stick with 10. Let's not go to 15.
I could probably come up with a few more if you want.
I would prefer not to. If you know me, I'm a pretty simple guy. So
I guess from our side, though, the commitment from our side is send your estimate over to Nate.
Yep.
Let's get that
I'll get that in, hopefully, tonight, because I want to just make a few tweaks to our bid.
Yeah. Just make sure
everything's
complete
on there.
Work, and then get Nate to approve your bond. We'll get you approved with the 19 lots. I can't imagine under any scenario that the council will have any issue with dropping from 20 lots to 19. I'll fall off my chair on Tuesday if it does get approved as a 19 lot.
I will too, but honestly, we'll just take the 20 lot and record it, and then I'll come in with a plat amendment.
Yeah. So I think that'll be approved, and then as quick as you can gather signatures, get your bond in, we'll get you started and get you going.
Okay.
And you're actually towards the beginning of the meeting this time.
Sweet. Hey. You know, I like hanging out with you guys. I'll come sit in a full meeting. Don't move me,
Brings back old memories.
Well, we can put you back to the end. It's going to be a long one.
Hey, there are some good memories, and there's some other memories that I want to just completely block out.
Yep. So, I don't know how, do you need, I will issue a letter with the approval, but
okay.
I don't know if you need that immediately.
No.
Okay.
I mean,
I'll get it the next day or so.
I'm just going to move forward with the bond.
Great.
And
yeah.
You don't need anything else for Tuesday. We got everything submitted.
Nope. It's already on the agenda. It's put together. So we're all good. Notices went out.
Yeah. Well.
No objections.
It's good to see you all. And all right. Appreciate your time.
Meeting adjourned.
Yeah, hurry and turn it off before we say anything dumb.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks,
Jack.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks, Shannon.
It's good to see you again, Gretchen.
Hey, always fun.
Yep.
I haven't talked to you about that. I think if you even just put a slope, it's sloping this way to 1%. I think that would be enough. It's just a basic understanding.